Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
The two readings are Exodus chapter 17, verses 1 to 7, and 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 to 5. They are to be found on pages 75 and 1161 in the Bibles in the pews. Exodus 17, 1 to 7. Water from the rock. The whole Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people, take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand there before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The next passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 1 to 5. It's on page 1161 of the Bible in the pews. Warnings from Israel's history. "For I did not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert." That's the end of the reading.
Thank you very much, Ranel. Do keep that passage open. Let me lead us in a prayer. Lord God, you say that these things were written for us today. And so we pray that you would speak to us by your word, through your spirit. Give us hearts open to receive your word and to trust in you. Amen. Well, Happy New Year. It's great to be back with you. And this year, our hope and prayer as a church is that 2025 would be a year of discipleship, a time that we as a church would focus on our walk with Christ and following him. And so we perhaps are wondering, why are we looking at this story about these people wandering through a desert? What has that got to do with my discipleship and following Christ today? And the answer is everything. Through history, God works in patterns. And the New Testament writers like Paul understood that our Christian life is just like the life of these people in the desert. In so many ways, their story is our story. This is a picture of the normal Christian life. And as we're reading in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, just the verse 6 after Rana read, these things were written for our instruction. And so we've joined the story part way in the book of Exodus. God's people, the Israelites, are traveling on a journey from Egypt to the promised land. They had been slaves in Egypt. They had cried out to the Lord, please save us. God had remembered his promises and had rescued them through powerful signs, through the plagues, through the Passover, through the parting of the Red Sea, through pillars of fire. And now they were coming through the desert of Sinai, and they were on the way. And that story is in many ways the same as the Christian life, because the Christian has been rescued out of sin and judgment through the death of the greater Passover lamb, Jesus. And the Christian lives life in between the domain of darkness and waiting for a new creation, the new promised land. But in our story, they enter the desert. And in these harsh conditions, the relationship between God and the people was being put under the test. It was being strained. How would it cope? Now, before the new year, I did my MAT on the car, and I like to think, I have a bit of a naive relationship with my car, because I like to think that it works well. Until, of course, the mechanic does the MOT and starts ringing me up and lists all the various oil leaks that are on my car. It is only the test that brings out what things are really like. And that is what is happening here, is we see in this story what the hearts of the people are really like and what God is like as they enter this time of testing. So the question for us this Sunday evening, what happens when God and his people are put to the test? What happens when God and his people are put to the test? We'll see two answers. Number one, in the desert, grumbling hearts are exposed. In the desert, grumbling hearts are exposed. So you have a look down verse 1 of Exodus 17. It's on page 75. And the people are reaching a big problem. There is no water for the people to drink, and it is bad news. People are getting worried. They say, Moses, there are children here. Give us water. And Moses replied, why are you testing the Lord? And it's fair to say that this bit of Exodus and the rest of the Exodus story and then the rest of the Bible is quite harsh on the grumbling of the people. Because what happens is they get to this problem and they grumble to Moses. What is going on? And as we read it, we might find that a bit strange. Like, why is the rest of the Bible so harsh on these people just for something like grumbling? And at this point, it's worth remembering three things. Number one, God had proved his track record so many times for these people. They had seen so many mighty works, like even bread coming from heaven. That's number one. Number two is that the people grumbled through all those other things as well. And number three is that actually, as we hear the grumbles of the people, we see what their hearts are really like. So have a look at verse 3. The people were thirsty for water. They grumbled against Moses. They said, why did you bring us out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst? You see the heart attitude that's bubbling to the surface. Deep down, they actually resent God for rescuing them out of Egypt. In many ways, they would rather have been slaves in Egypt. They deeply resent what God has done for them. And something as simple as grumbling actually shows what their real heart is towards God and the spiritual problem that is going on with the people, despite God's goodness to them. In the desert, grumbling hearts are exposed. They call the place, Moses calls the place Meribah, quarreling. And for us today, we meet a first big and I think quite surprising practical lesson for us as disciples, and that is the problem of grumbling. And for us, maybe it's just one of those things that we do so often that we don't even notice it or realize that we do it. Sometimes it's said that the British national pastime is grumbling about the weather to strangers. And it's particularly relevant, isn't it, this time of year as we hear about it. And perhaps we think of it as a normal thing to do, but actually, what are we saying? We're actually revealing, in a deep way, our hearts and how we feel about our lives and about how we feel God has done for us. It is often true, isn't it? The moment things go bad, we so easily forget what God has done for us. And maybe if we're feeling brave, and if we get ourselves into a calm mood, go for a nice long walk, have a relaxing cup of tea, and then ask another Christian who we know and trust, do I grumble? And wait for the response. That might be quite a revealing thing. Get yourself in a calm mood beforehand and ask, do I grumble? And if they say a bit, then you know that it actually means a lot. It's something that I do, and I know it'll be an issue for us as well. What would it look like for us to not grumble in January? Maybe lunchtime tomorrow, maybe when we're at work, maybe when we are relating to God. What would it look like for us to not grumble? In the desert, grumbling hearts are exposed. That's the first thing. Before we move to the second, just a tiny little aside, and I think it's worth us seeing just as we look at the book of Exodus and as we get back into it, just to say, and feel free to come and chat afterwards, love to talk about this more, but just to say that the events here are presented as real historical events in the book of Exodus. And so for me, I believe that these things are real and that they happened, and that's because Jesus and the New Testament authors, they believed that these incidents were real, involving real people and real places. It's been something that Christians have had to stand for among all generations. It's true in the past, it's true today. And it'd be lovely to talk more about that with you if that's something you're thinking about. But that's a little aside. Back to the sermon. So, in the desert, grumbling hearts are exposed. Number two, in the desert, God's grace is revealed. In the desert, God's grace is revealed. Let's have a look at what God's response is. Moses is saying, what are we going to do? The people are about to riot. They're going to kill me. And God says to Moses, go to the people, stand in front of the people who are ready to kill you. Pick up your staff, Moses, and hit the rock. And perhaps some are wondering that that is a strange response given the situation of no water. But Moses does that, and they look at the rock, and there it is, water. Water that people can sip, fresh mountain water straight from the spring. It was an amazing miracle. Only God could do that. Now let's hit pause there. What has just happened? What has just happened? God has done a mighty act of provision in providing for the people, but he's also done something more than that, because what we've got here is a real act of grace, of God's kindness to a hard-hearted people who don't deserve it. In the desert, God's grace is revealed. It's one thing, isn't it, to do something for someone who appreciates us. It's another to do something for someone who doesn't really appreciate us. It's another thing to do something for a group of people who deep down reject and resent you. But that is exactly what God is doing. God is showing his grace to the people who are grumbling. Gracious God and grumbling people. And that is so helpful, isn't it, for us to see as we start this year. The Bible, it's all about grace. It's not about what we do to earn God's rescue. God's rescue is a gift to us. It's undeserved. So many I meet miss this today. We think that it's all about if we do good things, we'll end up in heaven. I've heard that so many times. So many people miss the heart of Jesus and what he's about, to get it completely upside down. Sometimes preachers explain it like this. Imagine the little girl who's been given the Christmas present, and she's been given the present by her auntie and uncle, and she looks at her auntie and uncle and she says, "Okay, how much do I owe you for this present?" I mean, no one does that. Well, no child does that, because children understand how presents work. They understand that it's a gift and they receive it. They don't do that. Children don't do that thing, which sometimes I do, where I look at the presents that I've given Uncle Tony and I sort of think, okay, right, so we've got the shaving foam, we've got the clock and the coffee, and he got me the chess set, and taking retail prices plus accounting for discounts, there's probably a net difference of about £15 then, so I need to move that over to the birthday. Children don't think like that. It's not about a wage or earning. It's a gift. It is a gift to be received. That is God's grace to us. In the desert, God's grace is revealed. I'm so glad that we started in this passage as we start this year. Because if we're serious about discipleship, we could fall into a really obvious trap, which is we could just spend the next few months telling ourselves to try harder. I need to try harder at praying. I need to try harder at reading my Bible. I need to try harder at going to church. I need to try harder at telling my friends about Jesus. And maybe for a few days, I'll get a bit better. And then like the New Year's resolutions, it'll fizzle back out. We could fall into that trap so easily if we're serious about following Jesus. But this passage shows us it's all about God's grace. It's about a gift, his kindness and his faithfulness to his grumbling people. In the good news of Jesus, we find something so much deeper than just a message that says, try harder. It says, receive what God has done for us. And if we don't understand that, we're just going to go round and round in circles. And we'll never understand what Jesus is about. And we won't grow in our walk with him until we get this. God's grace. God's grace for grumbling people. Like the stars shining in the night sky. God's grace shines bright among his grumbling people. As the people test God in the desert, we see what God is really like, what he's really like in the test. And this is written for us. Now, I find it really striking at the end of the passage, the people ask a question, and the answer is a resounding yes. Is the Lord among us or not? The answer is yes. In so many ways, God is with them in that story, in an even greater way, as we read, that the rock was Christ. The rock was Christ. Jesus, who was struck for us on the cross, dying to give us living, the source of living water. So there we have this story, grumbling and grace. And the question for us as we start this new year is, are we trusting in God's grace for us? Are we trusting in God's grace for us? Do we see how he works with his people and how that is what God is like? That's how he works with his people. It's how he worked then. It's how he works now. And for grumbling people, there is water from the rock. Let's take a time to respond now as I invite the worship team up. We're going to sing. We're going to sing of God's grace, about how his great love meant that our debt is paid and that there's nothing that can separate us from his great love. And perhaps let's take that opportunity to trust in God's grace anew for the new year. Maybe to pray that he would enlarge our vision of his love for us. And maybe we can take the opportunity to take prayer ministry if we feel that would be helpful, to pray with someone, or maybe talk with someone you're sat with. And let us respond to God's grace to us. Let me pray. Is the Lord among us or not? Lord God, we thank you that the answer is yes, that you are with your people, that you are gracious, that you are kind, that for grumbling people, there is water from the rock. So Lord, please help us to trust your grace for us now today. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.